Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air, and I'm your host, Jane Ross. Today, I'm talking with the multi-talented Stan Wolfgram, originally trained as an actor at New York's Lee Strasberg Theatre and Film Institute. Returning to Aotearoa, he founded the production company Drum Productions in 1992 to tell Pacifica stories. From fashion showcase Style Pacifica to pioneering Pacific Island youth show Pacific Beat Street to capturing the opening of the Pacific Forum, Wolfgram has staged the Style Pacifica event for 16 years and won 2 awards for covering it on television. He has also run Auckland's annual Pacifica Festival of Tongan, Cook Island, and German descent. He was made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit in the 2015's New Year's Honours. He joins me today. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Stan.
Kia ora, Anna. Welcome, welcome.
Well, it's delightful to welcome you into the show today. You have had the most extraordinary career, and I've only just briefly touched on the surface. And we're phoning. I'm in the Wairarapa today, and you are in the wonderful Rarotonga. And it's been lovely to hear about what the island lifestyle has been like for you.
Yeah, you know, it's all part of New Zealand, though. So I'm still in New Zealand, even though I'm in Raro, because we're part of the NZ realm here. So I've just extended my reach a little to be in Raro. And I actually, here is where I call work, but I still live in New Zealand. I still live in Auckland, actually. I live in Auckland and I work in Rarotonga. So it's nice to chat to you today.
Lovely. I just really want to start by getting my head around how you became interested and entered into the New Zealand screen industry. I mean, was this something that you were interested in doing when you were still at school?
Not while I was at school. I was a third generation at Auckland Grammar.
And wow.
I actually grew up in Mount Roskill, and since my father and grandfather had gone to grammar, I had to catch the bus there from Mount Roskill every day. So, it was all about sports at grammar. And so I did that, and then to keep everyone happy, I did go to university but studied my sciences. But at the same time, I got involved in the fashion, in the fashion industry, and from the fashion industry, I ended up getting into TV commercials, and TV commercials, I ended up in the acting theater, etc. And that's when I decided I actually toured with Ladies' Night.
Did you?
Yeah.
I remember that. I was a student at Teachers College when that came to Palmerston North.
Yeah, well, yep, I was on that national tour. We did a big national tour around the country. We still hold the box office record for attendance.
It was huge.
It was a big show. It was very, that was Anthony McCartan and, can't remember the other writer, but two very famous, well-known New Zealand writers that ended up in the screen industry as well. We toured around New Zealand for a year with many well-known New Zealand actors. And by the end of it, I was an actor that was still wanting to, you know, to learn the craft. And I had heard about this craft or the style of acting called the method in America. And so I ended up jumping on a plane and flying over there and ending up in the YMCA and then going down to Lee Strasberg and asking them for an audition, how do I get in here? And so they gave me an audition and I said I wasn't going to leave until I got in. I'd come a long way, and they gave me a call back and they said, yeah, you're in. So I ended up doing a couple of years there.
Amazing.
Yeah, studied theatre in New York. I came back to New Zealand for a little stint. I went back for another year. But one thing it did teach me was to find my own voice. And I realised that I was passionate about telling stories about who I was and where I'd come from. And being a Tongan Cook Island German born in Mount Roskill, that was my story.
Yeah.
I came back to New Zealand, came back to Auckland, and there weren't many people telling those stories at that time. So I thought, well, I'll just form a theatre company. So I formed a theatre company, and that was under Drum Productions. And we formed a school, and we were teaching actors. I worked with a very good friend of mine, Johnny Givens, who is also very well known in the New Zealand screen industry as well, doing a lot of live television broadcasts, etc.
Now, what era was this? This was around the early 90s that you set up Drum Productions?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And we were working in the theatre, and so we were writing and producing shows. I had to, because there weren't many Pacific stories, I had to basically write. So I was writing for theatre and then producing because, you know, you needed to put the shows on. So I was honing my skills around writing, producing and acting. And we would put shows on. And then I thought, you know, they're very short runs, couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe, even longer, maybe a month. Rehearsals, maybe another month. So I kind of thought, this is really good. I like it, but I need to make more money and I need to speak to larger audiences. And then when I started working with others and working in the television industry around still acting, but then I started producing as well, and I came together with my partner, Julie Smith, and she had worked in the television business before, and together we put pitches in and we were able to get a pitch accepted, which was a documentary. So we started producing docos, and that first one was called Tokyo Bros, Kiwis in Japan. So that was a doco, that was a TV3 doco. And so we produced those. We ended up doing docos, a few other docos, Carolina Anderson, Carolina, who was attacked by the dogs in Greyland. And had her face severely torn apart. And so we did a doco on that with Carolina's parents. We were able to bring change to the New Zealand dog laws, or the laws regarding dogs and owners and liability. And there was a law that was introduced after that called Carolina's Law, which basically brought liability onto the owners, the dog owners, and not just the dogs. So docos were great, but again, docos come and go. We would make those. You'd work on them put your life and everything into them for a year, and then it'd be over. So we started looking at how we could expand and get into series, and that's when we were looking at I was producing a show, which was the Style Pacifica Fashion Awards. We partnered with Westfield, and we ended up running that, and we did a live broadcast of that as well.
Oh, I loved it. I remember it. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it was a good show. Again, it was timely. There was nothing like it as far as New Zealand itself was still trying to find its own identity as far as, am I a British nation? Am I a Pacific nation? What does that mean? And this is where shows like Style Pacifica became part of New Zealand's identity. Its identity as far as being a Pacific nation is concerned. But it's also part of our artistic and cultural identity as well, establishing, especially for the fashion industry, New Zealand in some ways, it may have been seen as a swan dry country. You know, obviously it was more than that. And so South Pacific is one thing that allowed our designers to express themselves as far as what it was to be a New Zealand designer, and also to express themselves on the international, on an international platform. And so that was that show. We picked up some awards through that. And
I loved seeing the Pacifica-styled clothing on the models that walked up the runway and then danced at the end of the runway. It was just joyous to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, our thing was always around what was unique to us, and to try and voice that in on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about who are we, and you know, in some ways it was the journey that I had gone through growing up. And you know, I was from Mount Roskill, Tongan, Cook Island German boy going to Auckland Grammar. And
yeah.
It was like, who am I? What am I?
Yeah.
And so that's been a search or something that's been part of my, what is it, my DNA, to discover what that was. Starting way back there from my days at Grammar, and all the way to today even. And I remember at Grammar, actually, I had a bit of an epiphany in my fifth form after getting many detentions in the cane as it was back in those days.
Mm.
And I kind of thought to myself, wow, if you really want to beat them, you need to join them. So I kind of turned things around a little bit, and I actually became a prefect at Grammar. And funny, the things that I was getting reprimanded for, suddenly it was all okay. I could do all of those things now that I was a prefect. I could still get away with all the things that I did before. So it was kind of like, oh, you know. And I suppose part of that philosophy is about really understanding, you know, if we look at film and television, et cetera, it was really understanding the industry and the marketplace.
And the structures that are in place with that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
And structures that are in place and the agendas, and that's the game. And if you play that game, then we can get our voice heard. And that's very much what I did from there on. It's very much what I do today. I very much work in that space where there's agendas and there are things that need to be fulfilled. And if you fulfill them, then you have the opportunity to have your voice heard in that space, in the digital space. And then, you know, it's an opportunity. If you don't do it well, then you won't get another one. So it was always about doing the best job you could and making sure that if you produce something, then it was worthy and worthwhile and it was good.
Mm.
So that's, so that led us on to, for us to work, you know, producing other stuff. New Zealand, yeah, we went to television series. We did youth magazine Pacific Beach Street. We did that for 6 years. We produced over 203 episodes.
Wow. That's a lot in 3 years.
6 years, actually.
Oh, yes. 6 years. Yes, 6 years.
6 years, 203 episodes. You know, we started off with a commission of six eps, and then we just kept on going back and obviously producing good eps, doing the numbers, making sure that the numbers all worked out, viewership, our budgets, et cetera. And then, yep, so 203 episodes later, 6 years later, that was Pacific Beach Street. And then, from there I had very much been working around New Zealand's Pacific story, what that was. And so I started working also producing material for the government. New Zealand wanted to express its connections to the Pacific when it came to the likes of New Zealand hosting the Pacific Leaders Forum. And so I would come in, or I was lucky enough to be commissioned to produce material, be they live material as well as digital material stories, to tell New Zealand's Pacific story. And I remember, so as far as the launching New Zealand's identity, that's very much what we did around the forum. One of the forums was at the same time as when we hosted the Rugby World Cup 2011. So we produced a lot of material around the cloud, the building of the cloud in Auckland, live events. We did Star Pacifica at the same time. So we did the broadcasts for that. And actually, I remember working with Dave Gibson at the same time. Dave Gibson was promoting New Zealand's trade identity, and I was producing New Zealand's cultural identity. And I just remember Dave's budget was a hell of a lot bigger than my budget.
Wow.
But we were at the same venue, and we were watching each other's videos, and I was going, oh, Dave, that's very expensive. And he was going, yeah, well, I had a hell of a lot more budget than you did. But it was it was good. It was interesting. He's a great guy, and it was just funny that we were sitting there talking about our client at the time, who was the New Zealand government, and how we were both playing the game.
Yes. Indeed. I've worked for Dave as well. I did some script writing for a political satire called Facelift. I did that for three series, and I think he's a great guy too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a great guy. And, you know, that was so we worked with many of New Zealand's, I suppose, or stalwart or pioneers in the industry as well. We were working with our live stuff we were doing with Wayne Leonard, who was around all the OB and live broadcast stuff. Wayne went on to do the America's Cup stuff, and then he went on to do the US Open golfing and all that. And so Wayne's still out there doing all that. Wayne Leonard, Ernie Leonard's son. And then, many others as well. So, yeah, and from working on with the New Zealand government around New Zealand's Pacific story is when we started reaching more into the Pacific. And that's when I started to realise that there was actually a large regional story that existed as well. So New Zealand would tell its story into the region, but the region had its own story to tell. So when I talk about the region, I talk about the whole Pacific region.
Mm-hmm.
So we started getting involved in that story. That story was very much around this kind of socioeconomic development story that was going on in the Pacific region. It was a story that involved a lot of the stakeholders that were players in the region. And today that story is even bigger than it was when we first moved into the region. But we stepped in first around that whole social economic development story. So it was around pretty much New Zealand's engagement around trade in the region, or the development story was very much around developing nations. And eventually we started to tell stories around the greatest impact or impacting factors, which is around state of our ocean. So, so we started working in economic development stories, telling stories around innovation, and telling stories around ocean conservation.
Amazing.
Very much now.
What are some of the key screen works that you've done in that space?
Well, we worked with Disney on their on that series they did on whales, and they did an episode which included us. And I was very much started to work in whale research. Being in Rarotonga, I started looking at ways that I gave impact from here. There was a lot of research being done from here, international research around the humpback whales that come through here. So I started working with a few marine biologists that were based here and that came through here. And from my perspective, I had the skills around capturing all the digital and visual information in the research. But then also there were people that wanted to document that information, be they National Geographic or Disney or Arte or various organisations around the world. They wanted to be involved in telling these different stories. And so I was involved in everything from production management to shooting to editing to directing. So I kind of applied my skills to the region. And, so we worked with the likes of Disney. Disney did a series. A guy named Brian Skerry, who's with Nat Geo, he was the presenter for that series. He ended up winning an Emmy for that. So, you know, a little bit of glory came our way, part of that production team. We were working for a production company out of the US called Red Rock Films. For us that was quite a good piece. It was a nice piece to work on. We worked on various other pieces. We worked on that with William Shatner, The Unexplained, again around humpback whales. Various other pieces. But one other thing too is that when I was working in Auckland on the Pacifica Festival, I had Opataya from the, I'm trying to think of the musical group, Devaka, the musical group. I'd worked with him in the past around Style Pacifica, and he had called me and asked if he could have access to the festival and whether I would take some guests around. So I ended up working with him, and it was the producer and the director of Moana. And so we ended up spending some time with them, just showing them around and introducing them to the music and to the dance. And so if anything, we could see this kind of growing interest in the Pacific story.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I've seen that more and more interest. And I think it's a global thing anyway. People are becoming more aware of climate change, so we work from anything from the documentary reality side all the way to the likes of the fantasy side, which will be Moana, et cetera. They're all Pacific stories. And what we're trying to bring is we're trying to bring the authenticity to those stories. And if anything, we're trying to bring more Pacific stories to mainstream. And we see that there's this kind of evolution with for us as Pacific filmmakers or Pacific storytellers, we like to believe that there's been an era of films, cultural films, we could say the likes of the films out of Africa, and then the films that are coming from China, from Asia. But then we see this new kind of era of films from the Pacific.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we see a big kind of growth in that. I've been working with another company called Red Cow. Red Cow's out of the US again, and they are a locations company. So they scout globally for locations for production companies, but they do all the major, major films, major live productions, the Survivor series. They do these dating series, but they've been coming into the region as well, so we've been having discussions with them. Yeah, so we could see this whole kind of thing. We see obviously what Jason Marmor is doing in his series, which is about to come out August 1st. So that's amazing. And even the works that the likes of Taika and et cetera are doing, telling those stories coming out of the Pacific. And obviously Māori being a strong driver for Indigenous stories and basically at the doorstep. And for us as Cook Islanders, being our, you know, having those ancestral connections to Māori, we think it's an exciting time for those stories today. And for storytellers from the region, be they Pacific, be they Māori, be they European, just people that are passionate about telling stories from the Pacific. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, rightly so. Tell me about Stranded Pearl.
Stranded Pearl. So, so for me, I have a bit of a role a little bit in the Pacific. I'll do whatever I can to support any kind of films and productions that come along. And I, Anand, who's the, basically the producer, the funder, everything person, he has worked producing films in New Zealand in the past. And he now works here and lives here in the Cook Islands. He's an accountant. He's a COO for many of the large organizations and now the National Airline. And he's a guy that just wants to make films. And so he came to me and asked if I'd help him out. So that's what I did. I lent him a hand and helped him out as much as I could. But, you know, that's very much his production. I did whatever I could. So, yeah, I had many little bits that I did here and there for him on that film, Stranded Pearl. Again, it's another film that we see, which just, for us, it's not just about making the films, but it's actually, it's capacity building the infrastructure to make the films, which is just as important in the Pacific region.
Yes.
So, yeah, as everybody sees the end product, but what got it there is all that infrastructure that got it there. So that's very important to us. What's important to the likes of Anand and myself is the relationship that we have with New Zealand and the New Zealand film industry and how we can strengthen that relationship. I've run a couple of projects in the past. I've just finished a project recently called Film Raro. And Film Raro, it plugs many gaps. For us in the Pacific, we lag behind in what's called digital literacy, digital equity. When we lag behind, it creates what we call the digital divide. And what really that pertains to is the fact that the rest of the world moves ahead digitally based on what they're doing within their country. In the likes of developing nations or Pacific nations, we lag behind in what we're doing with our digital infrastructure. Mm. And it can put a country behind technically, digitally, economically. And so we look at ways how we can build capacity. And for me, I believe, or I've looked at, and I'm following the likely path of others as well, we use digital storytelling as a way to build digital capacity for our people. And that whole storytelling element is so important to trade. It's so important to culture, identity, tourism, et cetera.
Yeah. What are you working on right now?
What am I thinking of right now?
What are you working on right now?
Well, I've always believed that the Pacific has a voice, and I believe that the most important voice that needs to be heard is our own voice around the state of our region. I believe that the regional voice or the narrative in the region of the Pacific has not actually been our voice. Our story has been told by others, and it's time for us to take control of the narrative and tell our own stories. And people kind of go, what do you mean? You haven't had control of the narrative in the Pacific. You haven't been the storyteller. What I use as an example is a number of nuclear detonations in the Pacific. An example of that is the first nuclear detonation was in New Mexico, and then the next two were in Japan. And then after that, there have been over 317 nuclear detonations throughout the Pacific. 170 were atmospheric, and the last one was in 1996. And then for me, that's an example of us not having control of the narrative in the region, and therefore that was acceptable at that time. And for us to take charge means that we tell our own stories of this region. And to me, the most important story to tell is the story of our ocean moving forward. In our ocean, we are ocean people, but that ocean is our past, our present, and our future. It's our culture sits there, our economic development sits there, and it's in a state of crisis at the moment. And so with climate change, overfishing, et cetera. So that story is a story that we need to tell. So that's very much what I'm involved in. And my thing is not about telling that story to each other. And I call that telling the story to the converted. We all know the issues around our climate and et cetera. Mm. We need to be telling that story to the stakeholders, those people that are creating these issues.
Mm.
And so my thing is therefore telling our stories to the rest of the world, to mainstream, and about building platforms where we can tell those stories. And I've just finished a project called Film Raro that was funded by the European Union. We've created some films and capacity build Pacific storytellers. Those films will go up to festivals around the world. So we're just getting them ready. The European Union has a Section 8 Cannes. So we're looking in talks with them around showing our films there. But my main project is actually creating an immersive exhibition that tours the world. And it tells the indigenous story of the Pacific Ocean using the likes of projection mapping, gaming tech, and AR and augmented reality, etc. So I've been working on that project for a while. It's a few digital mediums, storytelling mediums in there. I've been to the stakeholders, so I've had funding from the likes of the governments, MFAT, New Zealand, DFAT, Australia, US Embassy. And I've been to the likes of the museums around the world to make contact with them. And so everybody wants it. I've just got to find the money for it. And so that's what I've been doing lately. We got hit by COVID, but the world's opened back up again. So I'm back in the marketplace. That's my dream, or what I would call my legacy project. I bring all my skills together and the likes of all the people I've worked with to be able to tell that story around the world.
Amazing. You are, hands down, without doubt, one of the most fascinating, multi-talented people I've ever spoken to. And it's just been an absolute delight to listen to you tell your story. I want to thank you very much for taking the time out from the important work that you're doing in the Cook Islands. And I really look forward to actually just diving into and finding out a bit more about, you know, your story and the career that you've led thus far, and actually seeing where you're going to go.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Jane. I see myself as this, you know, I'm a one of those kind of drops in the ocean that creates ripples, and there are many others like me. And, you know, by coming together and by inspiring others, that's what it's all about for me, sharing knowledge, inspiring and working with others. So you know, thank you for the opportunity to share this story. That's what's important to me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Me taki.